You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for Vampire Diaries. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Vampire Diaries news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for Vampire Diaries.
I'm having some issues. Sorry, I'm having some headphone issues. Hello, AfterBuzzers. My name is Emily Harbert. I am your host for tonight for episode 10 of season 3 of The Vampire Diaries, The New Deal. And I am joined by my wonderful co-host.
That's right. Aww.
David Schiffelitti. Oh, we have to shout out to DJ Jesse Janity. I'm sorry he couldn't make it tonight. We wish he was here. He's on a plane, but we love you, Jesse.
Yes.
Anyways.
Hey, Joe.
David Schiffelitti. Whoop.
What's up?
I was waiting for something to come
Happy
after
New
that.
Happy New Year, y'all. I'm glad to be back.
Always got.
That's all I got.
Sorry. Chrissy Luca.
Hey, hey.
Billy Niles.
Hello.
And Shireen Faltis sitting on the couch.
Joining in live satellite.
With her Britney mic.
Exactly.
Anyways, so this was our first episode back. And from a 2-month hiatus.
I know.
And just to recap a little bit. Yeah. Obviously, I think we can agree one of the most epic episodes in Vampire Diaries history.
Well, yeah. not history.
But
I think it was a very like strong episode to come back
yes.
on.
Yeah. But anyways, so where we had left off, Klaus had not been killed after a failed plan, and Stefan had gone off with his family.
That was homecoming, right?
Yes. Homecoming. Yeah. It was the coffins he had, and Tyler had been sired, and everything was going crazy. And
everything was going up.
Speaking of Tyler, his allegiance to Klaus was really creepy in this episode.
Yeah,
like
totally
that
creepy.
One thing. What does he say? I'll rip my heart out if Klaus tells me to.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he like explained the difference between siring and being compelled. Being compelled is like mind control, and being sired is doing something on faith because that's what you believe to be true, which is so creepy to like compare it to religion.
Yeah,
at this point,
it's like Scientology.
It's like any religion, not just Scientology. We don't want
it. Wasn't only creepy,
let's not discriminate here.
He contradicted himself.
Yeah.
Right after he said, oh, it's just based on faith and I have the ability to do what I want to do at the end of the day, but if Klaus asks me to rip my heart out, I'm going to rip my heart out.
Right, yeah. Because that's like the whole thing about faith. Like you do something because you feel that it's true.
Right. And I think it's also, there's something I think that's interesting about Tyler compared to all these other hybrids who have been sired, is Tyler seems to be the one who is really beginning to question what's going on. And it seems like everyone else that we've, it's not like we've gotten very deep in any other hybrid sort of character.
The other one got his head chopped off.
Right. But they seem to be operating off of total blind faith where it almost seems more like a compulsion.
Right.
But we're beginning to see this week that Tyler is really starting to question this faith.
Well, also, Tyler's the only one who's completely interconnected with all the other people that we've met before.
Exactly.
Interconnected to them before he became a hybrid.
And before he became
obviously,
a vampire.
Obviously, Tyler's questioning has a lot to do with Jeremy, who in the beginning episode was kind of going off the rails. He got an F on his paper. He was fired from Mystic Grill. And he's chilling with Tyler. And everybody's like, what the hell? The
freaking Mystic Grill.
Which I was hoping to get an explanation on. Because we discovered that he had compulsion after after we realized he was fired. So I was waiting for an explanation to see if the reason he got fired was because he was under compulsion.
Well, I think the reason
you
he
must
got...
love Jeremy to have concocted that story.
Yeah, I mean, I was really waiting for an answer because I just feel bad for the poor kid. Everything that happens to him is negative.
He's literally come back from the dead like 3 times.
Yeah.
It's insane, and
it's kind of awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of awesome, and I mean, I love.
He's got 7 more times. No, 6.
I think that's 6.
I take it back. 6.
Anyways, no. So, but Jeremy kind of turns around this episode. He realizes that. Which is usually, it's pretty quick for Jeremy in the beginning. It's always taken Jeremy a really long time to realize what he's doing is wrong, and.
Well, he's 16 now. Okay, he's a man.
That's right.
That man is a nut.
I love that. I loved when he...
he is a beautiful little boy.
He's my age. He's 22.
Is he?
He's 22, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so legal, you know.
Mm-hmm. We can fantasize all we want.
We are off on a tangent right now.
Anyways, note that the moment between... Jeremy and Tyler in the woods, I really liked because he
the
really
second one
gave
or the first one?
The second one, yeah. Where he really gave it to Tyler. And it was, and I think because we find out at the end of the episode, Jeremy's leaving. Damon compels Jeremy to leave. And,
but I think the most telling thing
about final moment for Jeremy.
It was great to see Jeremy finally like stand up to someone and see him chop off the hybrid's head and like finally gain some strength in him. Right. Not that he hasn't had it before, but it was great to see him with Tyler. Where I think the most telling thing about that scene was that we saw Tyler starting to question his...
It really put it into perspective for Tyler what sort of larger game he's been put a part of.
Exactly.
And I think it's also what was just the... I think the reason that Jeremy came around so quickly this episode is he's finally... He's had enough. He really has no connection any longer. He's lost Bonnie. He lost his ghost girlfriends. He finally thought that maybe Tyler is ghost.
They really are ghosts.
He maybe thought that Tyler was actually being the friend, and then he almost gets like hit by a car.
And then what's his face? Who is Caroline's ex-boyfriend's?
Matt.
Matt was Vicky. Not in the episode.
Matt wasn't in the episode.
Oh, there was Caroline.
I missed me some Caroline.
Yeah,
but
me too.
Here's the thing.
She got a mention.
As we were talking about before, it had been spoiled that a big character was leaving the show. And everybody thought it was going to be somebody was going to die. And I actually thought one of the things was with Tyler. It might be Tyler. And what I realized was there's really nothing keeping Jeremy there. He doesn't really have his own. At least Tyler, he also has his relationship with Caroline, which people love. I know I love it. People never really fell in love with the Jeremy Bonnie relationship. I was a fan of it. But
yeah,
I don't think he'll be missed, but it won't. I'm not crying.
To be honest, I am so glad he's leaving.
Really?
I think he's a sweetheart, and there are times when I'm like, wow, you're really cute. Yeah. But for the most part, I feel like Jeremy is like the show's like crazy puppet. Like, he has no real... Like, you don't know if he's a good guy or bad guy. Mm-hmm. You don't know if he's, like, a strong leader who's going to kill the bad guy or if he's going to be the bad guy and, like, be a druggie. Like, I feel his character is so... like not flushed out that I find myself constantly frustrated with him. So I'm partially just like, just get out of here, dude. I can't stand you. I don't know what you are doing.
But at the same time tonight,
I felt that
like
way in the first season. But the second season, he became so much more likable.
In the second season, he really kind of found himself. It was more of his own story. He had his own storylines.
He was more involved with his ghost girlfriends.
Exactly.
But he had a place, and I feel bad. He's been through a lot, that guy.
No, but like, okay, I think it's good if he started off negative with like Vicky and like having the druggy girlfriend and being in his dark place because his parents died, and then ascending into this stronger place. Right. I think that makes perfect sense.
He redeemed himself, and then, now he's just sort of
exactly. And then when he was with Bonnie, it was like, oh yeah, like now he's turned into a leader who's really like a strong player in the story, and he has a strong place. Player in the story, girlfriend. It all makes sense. Then he cheated on her with the ghost girlfriend.
Right. And then it was like
emotional cheating.
Well, they kissed.
They kissed.
He could feel it.
That was the big issue.
I guess kissing doesn't count.
Kissing doesn't count.
I felt betrayed. I was upset. Okay. So honestly, after he cheated on Bonnie, I was like, I can't stand you again. I don't even know what to do with you.
I think after the whole ghost plot ended, which I'm really happy it did. I really was not a fan of that whole thing. I think his character kind of just became dispendable.
At the same time, like, he throughout the whole series, he's sort of like collateral damage. Like, we're always trying to fight to save him, and it's better that he's not there. But he, I think, as fans of the show, he will be missed, and I'm sure.
Right. Yeah. And I don't think
we'll
he's
get
gone.
Like those like.
Yeah, no, he'll come back.
He's not gone for good, for sure.
Right.
He hasn't been out of the series as of right now, but. You never know, right?
I think he's going to have to come back to save the day at some point.
Yeah, and I think at this point, the only thing that makes him endearing is the fact that he's Elena's brother, and she loves him so much, and she's doing everything she can to save his life at all times.
There's nothing about his personality that you truly love about him. Yeah. There's not a quality about him that
he's
truly
just so
love.
Damaged. It's hard to, like, really...
Anyway, speaking of... They actually had a nice father-son moment, Alaric, who saved him from almost being killed multiple times. And
Jeremy said it best in the episode where he says that Alaric has some sort of allegiance towards them and like feels that he has to protect them and has to be responsible for them now that Jenna's dead. So
definitely. And I think so really the Alaric story wasn't really huge. All it really led up to was him meeting Dr. Fell, who is Tori DeVito, Paul Wesley's IRL wife. So I think obviously we only saw like 30 seconds of her, but I know we'll be seeing more.
Yeah, and she was lovely.
It was the foundation for that. And I'm just happy that we're going to finally have him in a real storyline.
Yeah.
There's going to be something for him to do.
Yeah.
Right.
His
own
storyline. It's a lot of, and I think it's the same thing with Jeremy. It's a lot of, they're kind of pawns of the Damon, and that's what, here's the thing, they're supporting characters, but they have gotten a little too pawnish. Okay, this is the problem that you guys figured out, and now we're gonna, it was kind of like we're gonna do the bitch work.
Yes, like, totally.
Well, that was my concern when we were watching, is that I thought, oh, they're gonna kill off Alaric. Yeah. I hope they don't kill off Alaric. Yeah. I really like Alaric's character.
And also the thing is,
they could have killed him off and I would have been fine with it.
I think he plays a vital role in like Elena's like protector.
Elena and I also could, I love him and Damon together. Every scene with him and Damon.
Yeah,
like,
it's comedy.
I like
it's,
Damon
yeah,
be,
it's
like,
funny. Comedy. And I think it's, normal. You need like a voice of reason.
Yes.
And I think that's what he is. And I was also thinking, oh, maybe they'll kill off Matt. But you can't have every main character in the show be supernatural.
Yeah.
They need to have
at least one human
some,
around.
It can't be like, it can't be like just Sheriff Forbes.
Right.
Like,
and somebody that promotes some kind of normalcy. I mean, it's just a bunch of misfits in the town. It's just them. There's no like parental like anything going on.
Right. No, I feel Alaric is like necessary staple. Like he's like father figure in his relationship with his ex-wife. He was the good guy. In his relationship with Jenna, he's the good guy. In his relationship with all the vampires and everybody he helps, and he's the good guy.
Yeah.
I love the good guy.
Yeah. I feel like that.
Keep the good guy.
I feel like that. I feel like he can be like,
team good guy.
He's supposed to be that. I don't think they've really actualized that very much in the series.
But you know, he's never really gonna turn to the other side.
No.
Unlike somebody else we know. Stefan Salvatore.
Oh,
who was very, very good.
He was,
and all of a sudden,
although
is this
very
bad boy.
Evil.
Although very evil.
I love seeing him as the dark Stefan. I think it's such a fantastic role for Paul Wesley.
And I know, and genius. He really wanted to, he really continuously asked them, I want to be bad. I want to be bad. I want to be bad.
Really?
And I remember.
Well, he plays a great asshole.
He really does. He really wanted to do it. And
it's so much more interesting.
It is.
And you know what's interesting, too? No, a lot of people didn't really like the Stefan and Elena relationship because it happened so fast.
Yeah.
And it was like, we're in love. And okay, you're in love. Great. We don't really know why, but. Your
and
relationships,
so, like
really
remember,
romantic.
Like, that pilot,
and fun.
It was so Twilight.
It lost a lot of it.
so clean and whatever. And
it lost a lot of excitement though. After a while,
it wasn't an exciting relationship. And I remember the only time I ever really liked Stefan was the season premiere of season two, when him and Catherine they take a walk in the Lockwood Mansion, like outside, and he's like. You know what, Catherine? You're a manipulative psycho bitch. And I was like, as much as I love Catherine, I was like, wow, that's awesome. And we never see that from you.
Yeah.
And now we see it. And as much as I love Damon and Elena, and you guys heard me screaming, like,
That was
we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But I'm starting to like him again.
Well, I think that he's obviously the character now is interesting. He really was just like the knight in shining armor who always came to save the day, and that's really all that he was good for the first two seasons. But what's also, I think, interesting about it is we keep saying that he's bad, but he's really not bad.
No, that's true.
Like dark, but he's still really the hero of this show. He's still trying to defeat the ultimate villain, who is Klaus.
Yeah, true.
Everybody has the same goal at the end of the day. Mm-hmm.
And I think that he's definitely like turned cold and dark.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I would call him a bad guy though.
No, it's interesting though, because initially, you know, the first season and a half, it was, you know, everybody was like, oh, Damon's such a jerk, and Damon's the bad guy, and Damon this and Damon that. And then all of a sudden you see the other side of Stefan, and he's so much more believable as the bad guy.
Yeah,
like, Damon
really
always had this vulnerability that you could see, and he wears his heart on his sleeve, whereas Stefan, like, really plays the part, and you have no idea whether he's...
Well, yeah, with Damon, it's gray. With Stefan, it's black or white.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so he has the coffins, and everybody... I thought he had gone to, like, California, but it turns out he's right around the corner.
Because why else is he lurking in the haunted house?
In the haunted house.
You
know? And he recruits Bonnie to help him hide these caskets.
Well, I think first and foremost, the witches have sort of reached out to her to let her know that there's
something going on. She was having the dreams.
True, yeah.
She was having the dreams. That was a really... And I think we all agreed it was a really weird way to start off the episode.
Right.
It was kind of random.
It was strange to start out the episode like that, but it completely made sense as the episode went on. It was just weird that they started
with it. It was just weird that that's like the first scene you get after 2 months.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I felt.
Bonnie's
I was like,
dream.
I agree.
Yeah. It was like you want a really...
Yeah.
When it's a teaser after 2 months, you want it like smashed when those main titles come up. You want to be like...
Your
holy
jaw drops
crap.
And kind of like,
it was kind of
dream.
Like, okay. And the second we saw Klaus, we knew it was a dream.
Yeah.
And
right.
It was like,
this is true.
Okay. So anyways, but she was recruited to help him.
Which I thought was interesting because it seemed as though he had already hidden them. The witches were already hiding.
I don't know what he needed her help with.
I found myself kind of thinking, I don't know if anybody else thought this, but I found myself thinking, oh, really? How is it that the witches are cool with Stefan, but they're not cool with Bonnie and Damon anymore?
Well,
like, what did he do to convince the witches?
He's trying to get rid of Klaus, because that was why Damon could come in, because he said, don't worry, we're all on the same side.
But ultimately, isn't that what Damon and Bonnie have been doing as well?
But they have previous beef with Damon.
Right.
Yeah.
Like
right.
Old school beef.
And they didn't with Stefan.
But then yet they won't forgive Bonnie, and she's one of them.
I think they have. I think this is sort of where they have.
This
now.
Was them forgiving Bonnie.
Is this
Bonnie.
The turning point?
Yeah.
Which is why she is, and why, if you realize, whenever she would walk into the house, you could hear the whispers.
Right.
Yeah.
And, which is relatively creepy.
Totally creepy.
You don't hear whispers when you walk into a room?
All the time. It's really weird.
You don't hear voices.
Okay.
Who are you?
Okay, so can I just quickly interject?
Yes.
And this is sort of prompted by us talking about Bonnie and Stefan's, you know, little collaboration.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it's really about Stefan. I feel like Stefan as a bad guy is, like, uber sexy.
Yeah.
Like, he, like, oozes with this, like, sensuality that he didn't have before when he was, like, the good guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it also has a lot to do with the fact that it looks like he's gained a little bit of weight. And he doesn't look like he's dying
on
screen.
He was lit so well in this episode.
That was a good point, yeah.
He was the dark, him in the dark lighting.
The sexy man,
looked amazing. And it was one of those things, he looked really tan. He looked like he had been in California.
Yeah. And I have to say, he played this part better than he did when he was, you know, under, you know,
Klaus's...
Yeah.
So, anyways, we find out that... Well, go. Sorry,
I was just going to say, I really do love his allegiance to Damon. Like, even though he's a bad guy now, I'm loving that they're kind of keeping the brothers.
Because that's his brother, you know, at the end of the day.
But that's been the one constant throughout the entire show is the two brothers.
I think that's, and I think it's definitely, and it ended up our last moment, final moment is why.
Aww.
Can we get to that?
Let's do it.
Can we get to our final moment?
I think so.
So Damon and Elena, 2.5 seasons.
Delana.
Of yeah.
2.5.
Why does Hollywood do that? Delana.
It's just life.
2.5 seasons of, and multiple moments in this episode where we thought they were going to kiss.
Yeah.
And there were rumors that there was a kiss.
Are you kidding me? There were multiple moments in like last season where I was like, is it going to happen? Just kiss already. Get
just
it over with.
I remember saying, like, just why? Like, why can't they just have a hot makeout session right now? Like, why hasn't happened? But finally, on the porch, he feels guilty because he knows his brother loves him and he loves his brother. And then he's like, nope. If I'm going to feel guilty.
I'm going to really feel guilty.
And do you know what?
God bless him.
For me, it's weird because I hate cliches. And it's one of the reasons I love this show, because I feel as if they never go into cliches.
I think it's, you know, we've seen it before. Jesse would say the same thing. It's like a Spike and Buffy thing as opposed to like Buffy and Angel. It's the same storyline.
No,
except
I'm
they're not
kind
of brothers.
Yeah.
Okay? We've seen it before. Not saying that I don't like it, because when Buffy and Spike were together, it was way hotter than when Buffy and Angel were together, so I'm sure we're gonna get the same thing.
Yeah, it's the bad boy element.
No,
it's totally the bad boy element, and it's
Chrissy,
but also even with the moment in the way that he says no and then walks away, that's kind of a very cliche movie moment.
Yes.
And then he's
yes.
like, wait, I'm actually going to kiss you. But I was fine with it.
I had to say it was a little tad corny, like just do it already.
Slightly
I knew
corny.
He wasn't going to walk away. It was either he was going to walk back or she was going to chase him.
A little corny's fine.
Corny's fine. And to be honest, I think had he not gone back, it would have been totally out of character. Like, I feel like Damon's character is like this crazy, just like...
impulsive.
Yeah, like impulsive nuts guy who just does everything, whichever crazy feeling he has in the moment. And I feel like if he had walked away and pulled like a knight in shining armor move, I would have been like, really? Like, come on. Like, so I liked that he went back. Went on his own.
I actually thought Elena was going to kiss. I actually thought they were going to take that route.
So
and
did
have
I.
Elena kiss him.
Only and because Damon's been so much more guarded recently with Elena. Yeah, like, he's been trying to, I feel like he's been really trying to respect, like, her wishes of, like,
you know what? I think he's trying to protect her, too.
Yeah, it's, he's, like, afraid I think of... it's, I think with the brothers, obviously, all their motivation is Elena and protecting Elena.
Right.
That's what this whole show is. It's protecting her.
But they keep Elena, the writers of the show, keep her so weak and so, like, wounded. And she's always
talking,
a puppy dog. And I'm like, why can't she ever grow a pair? Like,
we talked about that. Like, when she watched Jeremy cut the...
I know.
Like 2.5 seasons of watching people die around her. And she's still like, ugh.
And granted,
like, come on.
He was just going to kill you.
If seasons 1 and 2 only took place in 6 months. And then the last part of this season that we're watching right now has been like 3 months. It's only been like not even a year, like maybe a full year. And she's still getting squeamish over of all these
things.
But do
you always notice the only time she grows a pair is when she has to go inside with the enemy?
Right.
With Klaus's brother. What was his name?
Elijah.
She did it with Elijah. She did it with Klaus. She did it with Michael.
Well, because that's what we ended up saying is after she squirms, she goes and meets Klaus and has this confrontation with him, gives him back Rebecca. And
is very strong with him.
Yeah.
Which is why
really
I was
strong.
Confused, which is why I said, is that even Elena?
But you know what? It also,
exactly.
You know, I think we're forgetting too.
It
took
a lot of
gut and balls, if you will, to stab the sister.
Right. It did. Yeah. Yes, it did.
Well,
I'm not saying that it's bad,
Rebecca. And I do like that Elena's character has grown, let's say, half a pair. You know?
Okay, I'll give you that.
Okay, I do.
A quarter.
Yeah, like, I feel in the first season, she was like, I'm the damsel. Second season, she was like, okay, I'm going to ramp up. I got to, you know, let's work out. Let's get serious with the
her jogging.
Yeah, and then I feel maybe now in the third season, they're kind of like, they're flipping her back and forth.
Which is good, because I feel like that makes it more real, because that's what you would typically do. Imagine going through so much. After so long, you're going to build up this like tough outer shell, and eventually you're just going to be like, that's it, I can't take it anymore, I'm going to kick some ass now.
I think the only thing it was weird for her to freak out about Jeremy doing that, but I think the reason that she freaked out was because it's the first time she'd seen her younger brother who she's cared about have to do that himself.
And
I think
it's hard for me to like look at
too.
Them and be like, he's supposed to be 16 and she's supposed to be 17.
And I think that was the reason. I think more than her being like squeamish that he killed, or that somebody was killed in front of her, it was that she had to watch her brother kill somebody.
Yeah.
And the fact that
him to have to do, obviously,
his head was also being chopped off.
And it's been this ongoing thing where she's constantly worried about everything that Jeremy has to face and what Jeremy has to go through, and let's keep him away from it. And I think that's just the biggest thing for her.
Yeah. Okay, but let's not get too far off topic. The kiss was delicious.
It was amazing.
It was fantastic.
It was amazing. And
it was a long time coming.
I love that he just, at the end, just looks at her and says good night and walks away.
Yeah.
Yes. It was a sweet touch.
Yeah, it was very like, it's good
that it's... That was sexy. Yeah, it was sexy.
Good night. Good night to you, too. But it's great that it's like, they didn't stumble up into her bedroom, because that would have been ridiculous. No, I like that it was... It really topped it off. This is the CW. Have you seen what happens on this network?
Gossip Girls there was on so this many, network.
But you know, I was sitting there, and I'm gonna be a Debbie Downer right now. There were so many parts in last season, and even early this season, where I thought there were so many hot and steamy scenes between the two of them, and I thought, this is the one they chose to finally have the kiss? Like, I mean, it was a great moment, I really think, but last season, there were so many times where he just happens to be laying on her bed when she's ready to go to bed, and I'm like... Are you going to kiss already? Like, this is the perfect moment.
That's what you have to think about it. Like, if they want them to, like, flesh out an actual relationship, it's better to have, like, a sweet, tender moment to be the beginning of it, as opposed to, like, some, like, sexy, he's, like, ripping off his shirt, and she's, like,
I wasn't expecting, like, hot and sexy, like, in that context. But just, like, this really, I don't know. I just was expecting it to happen differently, I guess.
I saw an interview I was reading with Julie Plec, and she had said, everybody's going to be surprised about when and where the kiss will happen. And so I wasn't that surprised, because it was on the porch. And besides the time in his bed when he was dying, the only other time they've kissed is on that
porch.
Right.
Well, when he
but he thought it was Catherine.
Had that not happened tonight,
he thought it was her. It was Catherine.
Right.
Had that not happened tonight, I would have not been shocked. There have been so many moments like that that it just would have been another moment.
Yeah,
you know?
I wouldn't have been surprised. But and that's kind of why I loved it was because they finally and I think that's every episode. It's kind of been like, really, why not this week?
Right.
Why not this week? There was this moment. Why not? Why not? Why not?
It was almost surprising that it finally happened, which I think is good.
Yeah. You know?
But I think what was the shock and the thing about it was how more romantic than sexy it was, because we don't expect that from Damon. And I think that that's like the thing that's sort of great about him is watching him become this person who is more romantic rather than just like naked Damon getting on which is really my favorite Damon. But
I really feel like he's been that man all along. Yeah. He was just trying to suppress it from all the hurt.
I mean, Catherine... like emotionally killed him, and so
and personally, that's why I love him. Chrissy, I am very team Damon.
She has such an allegiance.
Don't call me out. Right
I have
now.
A pretty allegiance.
OMG, there have been moments where we're watching and he does something really mean and nasty, and she's like, inside, he's really feeling this. I'm like, really, Chrissy? Thank you, Damon.
True story. We'll take Chrissy off blast now. That is a true story.
No, but there's actually in the season premiere of this.
I'm with you.
In the season premiere of this episode, there were two moments where that you could really tell that Damon and Stefan, and they wanted you to know and to feel that this season Damon and Stefan had really switched places. Mm-hmm. And it was Damon putting Elena's necklace on.
Yes.
And then, I don't know if you remember in the pilot, Damon's first lines are, hello, brother. And when they are in the news station, Stefan says, hello, brother. So from that moment, I kind of felt like, okay, these guys this season, they've switched places.
Yeah.
Damon is now the main man in Elena's life, and that's only going to grow as we saw tonight.
But which I'm fine with. I really feel like, though, that Damon and Stefan are finally getting to a place where they love each other so unconditionally that regardless of what's going on with Elena, like, they're going to save each other's backs. Like, you know?
Which is so cute.
Yeah. Which is sweet.
Yeah. But I don't feel like that would have happened before. Like, say, second season even.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. It's like Elena is bringing them together, but tearing them apart at the same time.
Yeah. That is so true. Like, they're very complex.
That's why we love the Vampire Diaries.
Because you're super complex. I think that's...
Anything? just to touch on, Rebecca's dead for good. She was undaggered.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Klaus killed her and cried while doing so. So Klaus does.
Well, he did say we'll meet again.
I don't think she's dead for good. He's just not letting her wake up.
Right, because he doesn't want to face the wrath of
a woman's scorn.
Of a sister's scorn.
Of a sister's scorn. Of a blonde
Poor
cheerleader.
Rebecca.
I love her. Right? I love her too.
I think it would have, had she stayed undaggered, I think things would have unfolded too quickly.
That's
like, there'd been too much going on.
Yeah, someone else is going to wake up when they need her help.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
They will find a way.
Someone's going to find her when they need
her. Oh, and I did want to say, remember when Stefan and Bonnie, when Stefan showed her the coffins and they came to the last coffin and they were like, whatever is in this coffin is kind of the key to what's going on. I feel like...
Do you want to save that for predictions?
I will. Yeah, okay. I was just
thinking
that.
Yeah, let's save that for predictions.
You're saving me, David. I got a little ahead of myself.
Okay, well, let's go to a commercial break then.
All right.
After Buzz TV. Hi, I was once like you, a lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzz TV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzz TV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series, with over 60 different after-shows, from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV after shows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about?
Hello, everybody. I would like to welcome into the studio DJ Jesse Jandy. Welcome back. We're so happy to have you.
What up, After Buzzes? I was supposed to be here, but unfortunately, I had a long plane ride. It was ridiculous. But I'm here.
From Boston.
I was supposed to be here 10:30 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
And I was so excited because it was January 5th. The Vampire Diaries are back. I'm not going to watch this. I don't want to hear it. And now it's 10 o'clock at night.
Oh,
but
no.
I made it here in studio.
Yes. Yay.
To read the news and gossip.
I got a little novel for you.
A novel. So Pretty Little Liars and Vampire Diaries actress Bianca Lawson headed to the Teen Wolf. If you just can't jam-pack enough werewolf six-packs into your TV-watching diet, then fans of Vampire Diaries and Teen Wolf will be excited to learn Bianca Lawson, who plays Emily Bennett on TVD, and Maya St. Germain on Pretty Little Liars, will be headed to the MTV show for an arc. According to E!, Lawson has been cast as Miss Morell, the school's guidance counselor, for at least 4 episodes.
She's playing someone her age.
I know, right?
No,
she's 30
so
and she always plays high
school. It's so weird.
Bianca, grow up.
Well, here she is. And while we haven't seen Lawson on TVD for ages, we're looking forward to catching her on another supernatural show, The Secret Circle, for a few episodes. And since Bianca's convinced her Pretty Little Liar character Maya and Emily are meant to be, we hope that's... the show that snaps up... we hope that's the show that snaps her up for a permanent gig. Though we'd love to see her pop up all over the place. Excited?
Yeah, good for her.
I mean, this is 3 of your shows.
I know. You don't have to tell me.
You're going to be sick of her.
I love her. I love her.
I didn't like her on PLL. I wasn't a fan of her.
I like her on Pretty Little Liars.
I thought she was creepy. She was like, she had some like weird stalkerness.
She was like the weird resident lesbian that like knew things that were going on in the lesbian world.
She was trash.
She's awesome.
Okay, moving on.
So speaking of badass, Ian Somerhalder asked for charity donations to mark his 33rd birthday. Actor Ian Somerhalder has shown off his generous side by asking fans to donate to his charity instead of sending gifts for his birthday this week. The Vampire Diaries star turns 33 this Thursday, and he's reached out to his online followers with a special blog message.
I should have read this. It was in December, his birthday.
But you know what? It's our first time back.
It's our first time back.
You know, he's urged them to support his nonprofit organization, the Ian Somerhalder Foundation, which he has set up to raise awareness of environmental issues. Somerhalder writes, "I can't believe it. I'm turning 33. It's amazing to think that ISF, Is Foundation. It is only celebrating his first birthday, still an infant, absorbing all the love and support possible to help it grow into a miraculous change maker. ISF is unbelievably precious to me. When people ask me what I want for my birthday, the one thing I can think of that means more to me than anything else is the success of ISF. I see, hear, and read the potential in all the youth we can come into contact with, and I don't want to let them down. That's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
He's very in tune.
He's fantastic. Yes.
Yeah, he's so environmental. If you like follow his Twitter, if you follow him on Twitter, like rather than tweeting about the Vampire Diaries, all he does is tweet about like the environment and everything.
He's
like,
really into it.
Really green. And
good for him.
Yeah.
He's cute.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of cute, did Nina Dobrev get certified to scuba dive?
And she did.
Ian Somerhalder. Well, can I read the name?
Read it correctly.
Certified. We're back. So Nina Dobrev is someone who loves to try new things. Fans know a lot of the time she has Ian Somerhalder by her side. She just got certified to scuba dive, but fans wonder if Ian did too. Nina Dobrev went to her Twitter page today to share the excitement over her new adventure with fans. Beyond excited to share that I'm officially an open water paddy certified diver. All right. You go, girl.
Yeah.
The picture that she tweeted with, it shows her certification card. It shows that on December 30th, 2011, she received her certification. She is officially a scuba diver. Nina Dobrev did not share this picture until today, but the proof of when she did it is in the date of the card. On December 30th, 2011, Ian Somerhalder was also swimming in the ocean. Here's the tweet he sent out. Was just swimming with the sharks in the warm Pacific, not far from the Plastic Island. Amazing creatures, check this out. All right. It sounds like the two were enjoying some time together in the ocean. These two are so cute together, but fans wonder why they won't just admit they're a couple. What do you guys think, fans of Vampire Diaries? Did Ian and Nina enjoy a vacation on their break? Nina Dobrev will also be celebrating her 23rd birthday on Monday, January 9th, so let's give her some B-Day love. You can find her on Twitter at Nina Dobrev.
Ah, she's yes. a pop.
And that's your AfterBuzz TV news and gossip for the week of whatever damn day it is.
And after you go today. Wish her birthday wishes, find me on Twitter. We have the same birthday.
You yes. do? Your birthday's Monday?
Yes,
it is. Oh my God, what are we doing?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm be here for
anyways, so are we ready for some predictions?
I'm getting out of here because I don't want to hear anything.
Are you going to go and watch it right now?
Predictions. Okay, so Chrissy, we cut you off before.
We did. I cut you off because I wanted
thank
you to
thank you
hold
for doing
it.
That because I caught myself in mid-sentence as David was calling me out.
So we did see that there is a coffin that they can't open that's sealed shut, and Stefan says that he's tried everything, and Emily's like, it's spellbound.
Not Emily.
Whatever her name is.
Bonnie.
There's too many people.
In my head. What do you think, Chrissy?
So I, for some reason, she kept having those, well, I guess dreams, that it was Klaus in this coffin.
Right.
And the only thing that actually makes sense to me is, one, it's locked and no one can seem to get in it. And number two, Bonnie made the comment that whatever's in this coffin is going to be the key to, you know, fixing this situation or whatever it was.
I have a feeling I know who it is, but I want to hear who you think it
is. I have a feeling it's the mom.
Oh, I was going to say
it's she's a witch. So why,
that's
I mean,
a good,
the only thing I can think
call.
Of is she can control, the witches can help control the fact that no one can get into this coffin.
Mm-hmm.
And why else would there be a vision of Klaus laying there? Because he killed his mom.
Right.
Ooh,
that's what makes sense to me.
Good.
And whatever is in there is what can put him in a coffin.
Exactly. Right. That's what I meant to say.
And well, we saw in the teaser for next week, he's kicking that coffin over.
Oh,
was
really?
It him?
Yeah, it was him.
Oh, okay.
I was so overwhelmed by the moment I didn't really see the teaser. And usually I'm the one, if anybody has watched this in past seasons, I love me some spoilers. I always know, like, what's going to happen 3 episodes ahead of time. But for some reason, like, right now, they're being so secretive about it. They're being so – I really can't predict that much. I know Bonnie's mom is coming in.
Eventually.
Eventually.
She airs the 19th.
Yeah, so two more episodes.
So I don't know.
Maybe I feel like
she'll help with that spell.
I feel like Rebecca's going to be involved somehow because what better way than to resurrect?
Know. She didn't know that her mom had been killed by Klaus, and I don't think she's aware of who is actually in the coffins. I mean, if there's one that's been sealed shut, she has no idea who's inside of it. Actually.
Right.
Well, and I'm a little conflicted about the mom potentially being in there, because if she was a witch, and as far as I know, she was never turned into any sort of...
No, she was never turned into a
vampire. So wouldn't that mean she's kind of like a human witch, and she's just... I mean, unless they preserved her.
That's
or unless she was a vampire.
It's sealed. But
no, she's not a vampire. Rebecca says it really clearly. A witch can never turn into a vampire, because... Okay. A witch is a servant of nature, and a vampire is an abomination. So you can never be both.
Oh, you're good.
Both.
You even quoted it. Bring it, Emily.
That's very true. Really pathetic like that.
But she is the original witch, so right. I have a feeling there's going to be some sort
of... But type of witchy spell that preserved her. Well, the thing is, what we did learn, I, for one, thought her title as the original witch meant she was the first one, but she's just called the original witch because she is the witch of the original family.
Right.
So she doesn't have...
started the original curses.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's weird that, like, the only thing we can really predict is, okay, the spells and what else? Like,
that's really it. I mean,
maybe some awkwardness.
Stefan as, like, the super bad guy.
And what do we think is going to happen with Matt?
Nothing yet. I think they're going to do the same thing that they did at the beginning of season 3, where Bonnie was, like, not around for 3 episodes.
Yeah.
Matt, I don't think
I did read something that beyond the main 3 and Klaus, no one is contracted to be in every episode. So those people are always gone.
Well, they're regular. They are regulars.
They're regulars, but they're not contracted for every episode.
They're series.
So they always send those characters away because they just can't afford to have them all the same
time. Well, I think Julie Plec also said, like, it's still based in a town when you're always going to see Elena, Damon, and Stefan, but the other characters, they're just off living their own lives sometimes.
Well, especially
they're
Matt.
At the mall. Yeah. You know, they went to the movies this week.
That's right. Yeah, and Caroline's
the whole week.
They went grocery shopping. They're doing their laundry. You know, they have shit to do.
Doing the laundry. And Caroline, I feel like she's been kind of in and out with the whole let's kill Klaus.
Caroline wasn't in
effort.
This week's episode.
I was really upset. I love Caroline.
Yeah, I love Caroline too.
By the way, just fun
she's
fact.
She's so annoying to me.
Did you know the only...
She was annoying the first season, but.
Do you know what? The job Candace Akola had before Vampire Diaries. She was a backup singer for Miley Cyrus. That's like the only job she's ever had.
Well, the girl got a voice. Remember the episode where she sang Eternal Flame? I was like, huh. No.
Yeah. That's like her only other job.
Well, good for her.
I do remember that
because
I loved that song.
Yeah.
No, I really like Caroline, and I really like her relationship with Tyler.
Yeah,
but
I do too.
I only will like it again if Tyler stops being a dick.
He can't.
Yeah.
He can't.
I think everything that has to do with Tyler is annoying and creepy at this point. He's all sired and weird, and I'm just like, you just seem like evil, and like you're just weirdo who's infiltrating all the like good people, and
right.
I just...
And he's like very cultish, and that's what makes it so uncomfortable, because you don't know like what he'll do in the name of this higher power.
Yeah, like even when he was hanging with Jeremy, and they're all, woo, shooting bows in the field, or whatever, he's like... Like, when he stood there and was like, try and shoot one at me. Like, he just looked so creepy. I was like, why do you look like you're turning into a demon?
Tyler has become a very unpredictable character.
Yes.
Yeah. We can agree on that.
Yeah, he has.
And I think what's going to be interesting is when, because I do believe that ultimately Klaus will be defeated. So I think it'll be interesting to see what happens to Tyler if he isn't dead by that at that point once whoever sired him dies.
I think the most... interesting question to think about is if by the end of this season, do you guys think Elena is going to be a vampire? I know you've had...
I have had inklings.
Numerous inklings.
I have had numerous, because it was in the book, and the producers had said something in the past. But I know I don't think it will happen this year. I know one of the big reasons they decided not to was because of Twilight, and it's a... And obviously, that is with part 2 coming out. It's Twilight's thing right now.
It's true.
So they don't want it to be too intertwined. So I think maybe not this season, maybe the end of next season when, thank God, Twilight's over for good.
Yeah, I feel it's too fast. I think that Stefan needs to make a good guy comeback before Elena can become vampire.
A bad girl.
I don't know why. That just it would feel like.
Yeah. Well, do you think that Elena will?
The whole storyline would change.
Will become a vampire and become a bad girl, or do you think she'll become a vampire to want to like live with one of them eternally?
Well, she said in the episode before the sacrifice
that she never wanted
that
to
she
be
never
a vampire.
Wanted to, mm-hmm. even, and that was when she was madly in love with Stefan.
Yeah.
So unless she falls even more madly in love with Damon, which I'm all for, but I don't know.
I think what would be so interesting, like once we finish this whole Klaus saga and we need like the next big arc, it'd be so interesting to turn it on its head and make something happen to her where she and becomes like a villain.
That's why I think it would be amazing if at the end of this season she became a vampire and was a bad girl.
Yeah.
It'd be really cool if she was even more epically bad than
Catherine. That.
You know what I really, really want? I really want Stefan and Catherine. I think Stefan and Catherine would be an awesome
hot
couple.
For each other.
So let me clarify. Now, I'm a little confused. Who is in the four coffins?
Elijah's in one of them.
Okay.
And there's two siblings we haven't met.
And then the fourth.
And maybe three. Elijah said they bore seven. Ooh, wait. We can do some math here.
I don't think we really know. I don't think we really know who's in those.
But we can do some math here. Let's do some math.
Well, we know Elijah's in
We don't do enough math.
Elijah, and I think that Michael's the dad.
Michael's dead.
Why didn't they put him in the coffin?
But no, Michael's dead.
Oh, yeah, he blew up the fire. Oh, yeah.
So Elijah said they had seven children.
So we have Elijah.
There are seven children.
The one died.
The youngest died.
So that brings it down to six.
By the wolves.
Two of them are outside and four are in coffins. That's six children.
So four are in coffins. So, yeah, there's four that we have no idea.
It could be just children.
Or it could be the mother.
Yeah, so Rebecca and Klaus are the ones that are out, and then there's Elijah and three others.
And there's four mysteries.
Yeah, because even when Elijah was so adamant about reuniting with his family that he literally gave in to Klaus, I was under the impression that it was like, initially, because Michael was still alive then, it was, you know, mom and dad and Rebecca and, you know, not so much these other siblings that we had no idea.
Yeah. So, you know. It is the season of the originals, so we'll just have to see.
Yeah.
So, anything else?
No.
Nope.
Thank you, guys. Join us next week.
Yeah. Jesse and Janora will be back. So.
Full House. It was fun.
Have a
day. Don't forget to watch us on Secret Circle later.
Yes. We'll be back at 11.
Billy and I will be.
David and I. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
You guys come back and...
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.